You're listening to the Tumbling Saber Podcast, a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network, which also includes Talk Star Wars, Generation X-Wing, and the Rogue Squadron Podcasts. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world. Welcome to episode 47 of the Tumbling Saber Podcast, where it's now 53 short days, less than 8 weeks until Rogue One comes out. And we got a hugely busy show this week, and a few announcements to kick things off with. But first, let's introduce the crew. Corey, how you doing this Sunday night?
I'm doing awesome, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm tired, sore, general body soreness, as they say in hockey parlance. James, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, boys. Looking forward to the show tonight. 3-0-1, Kyle. Corey, what do you think about that?
That's awesome. I watched the game last night, streamed it.
Beat the Bruins!
Oh, you know what? Baby. We're beating the Bruins so often now, it's getting boring.
Never.
No, never.
I'd hop onto my other Twitter profile, at Kyle Roussel, which is mainly hockey-focused. And I would just chirp Bruins fans and gloat. But it's getting boring. It's like death, taxes, and Habs beating the Bruins.
It's almost, you pity them. It's like Bo Sox fans before they won it, or Cubbies fans now. You can't even make fun. It's like almost like the Leafs are that sad. 67's a long time ago.
It sure is, but the Leafs are coming, I think. It may not be this year.
Yeah, they look good.
It's not this year.
It's not this year. It's not. Their goalie's not good. They just gave him a lot of money. They've got no defense, but that group of forwards, young forwards they have, hoo boy.
Agreed there.
Well, I have to say, the Canadians, like, four solid lines. I'm really digging it.
Been a while since you've been able to say that, too. There.
Yeah. It's still all about the guy between the pipes. If we learn nothing from last year's disaster, it's that Carey Price is the Habs. And until further notice, that will be the case. But I think the weirdest, craziest sports story, the Cubs and Indians in the World Series?
That's awesome.
I wouldn't have put any money on that at the beginning of the year.
I think anybody who follows baseball knows the Cubs are kind of an up-and-coming team loaded with talent. But until you actually see them in the World Series, it's like, are you kidding me? The Cubs can't be in the World Series. 1908 is their last World Series. Okay, so I'm gonna take the Cubs anyway, just because the lovable losers they deserve a win here.
Well, I tell you what, on the air, I'll bet you a fully loaded hot dog at Cunningham's on that World Series.
Done. Sweet.
All right. Let's not take out the lightsaber on the first part of the show already.
Let's not start hacking off limbs here. Okay, so let's get into a couple of announcements here before we talk Star Wars news. First up, we'll wish a very happy birthday to this past week. We had Vanessa Marshall, Carrie Fisher, and Sam Witwer all having birthdays this week. And you know what's weird is that 10 years ago, none of us would have known who Vanessa Marshall or Sam Witwer were at all. Total unknowns to Star Wars fans. And now both are mainstays. One the voice of Hera, and the other, the voice of Darth Maul. I think he was the voice of Starkiller in the Force Unleashed video games. And there's another voice he did as well, I think, from Clone Wars.
Yeah, he's done several. I can't remember. I'd seen it as well, but it was more than one.
Well, happy birthday.
And, of course, Star Wars royalty, right back to the original trilogy era with Carrie Fisher.
Princess Leia, she just made her first appearance in Rebels for me.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're still binging, and you saw that. That was a pretty cool episode, right?
Very cool episode. I liked Leia. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I don't say irked me, but I was like, wait, that was about 3 years before A New Hope, and it's still the same Leia that we meet. Like she seems like she's always been that witty, sharp tongue, very assertive person. So I just said, it's the same person. Like, where's the growth between the two times?
Oh, I slightly disagree. I saw it. She had a lot more doubt. She's out the witty and you know the sharp tongued and witty. I think is something she would have developed by that age, but she seemed to have a lot more self doubt in this than she did in the trilogy. I saw a little growth.
Okay, fair enough. Glad to hear that you're still benching though. How far have you gotten?
So yeah, I get in like 6 to 8 episodes at a time, and so now I'm season 2 episode 14. I'm 10, you know, 5 or 8 minutes into and loving. There's only one episode in the season that I was sort of like, meh. It was like a filler episode in terms of, oh, and Pablo Hidalgo went on about how filler just means character development, which is exactly what this episode was. But it was a filler episode about Sabine's sort of backstory a little bit. I found it to be a bit boring.
Oh, yeah. The protector of Concord Dawn.
No, that's Blood Sisters.
No. Blood Sisters is the one I'm talking about. The Protector of Concord Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool, I thought.
That was a good one.
But Blood Sisters, man, I know which one you're talking boring about. Episode.
Yeah, exactly. Boring is sort of the word. Nothing.
Yeah. Chopper was the best part of that episode.
Chopper was by far the best part.
Yeah, it was actually hilarious when he's waving from on top of the Shadowcaster.
Oh, yeah, it's terrific.
Next, I guess we'll talk about a format change for Tumbling Saber. We've been talking about it internally here for on and off for I would say a few weeks or even a month or so. That wanting to switch things up, and so we've come to the decision that what we're going to do, at least for the next little while, see if how that works out, is we're going to split the show into two. So the Tumbling Saber podcast will continue on as is. It will release Monday, Tuesday, sometime early in the week, as always. And then we'll have a companion show that comes out later that week. I'm not going to commit exactly to a time just yet, but definitely later in the week. And that's going to be called Sith Disturbers. And James, you came up with that one as we were spitballing names. And what a cool name for a Star Wars podcast. And I can't believe it hasn't been taken.
Thank you, Kyle. I was also slightly surprised. We came up with some funny sort of plays on words and puns and names, but of all of them, that might have been the most surprising that someone else hadn't sort of registered it. But Sith Disturbers fits our needs quite well for a second pod. I like what we settled on.
Yeah, it was just like it's sort of like when you name your kid and like you meet your child and. Yeah, you just know. Okay, that's the name. This name fits that baby. And it was sort of like that type of moment where it was just like, yep, it's Sith Disturbers. And we should we do a poll? Should we ask listeners? Should we do this or that? No, it would take an act of God right now to get me off Sith Disturbers.
What else do we have? We had Bridger Transmissions, Jam Transmissions, Escaped Podcast.
There were some good runners up, I think.
Yeah, but a clear winner though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when I saw it, I knew too right away. I was like, "The search is over."
So we're gonna go with that, and the format of the show will mostly be the same as you know it. So on the Tumbling Saber, we'll discuss the news, we'll break down Rebels, we'll break down trailers as we always do. We'll talk about the movies. Might even do our listener questions on this show. I guess that is subject to how much content we have as far as news goes, but we'll see. So, and then the Sith Disturbers will be largely based around a deeper dive based on the poll questions that we come up with that week. And it'll also be the place where if we read comics or books, we'll talk about those there. If ever we get into video games, we'll do that there. And it'll just be a more relaxed, if we could be any more relaxed, a discussion on more things Star Wars. So for some creative and logistical reasons, which no secret that I've talked about how overwhelming things have been for me lately. And so this show will probably, if you look down at the little timer there on your iPad or iPhone, whatever you use to stream your podcast, you might notice the show is slightly shorter than it has been over the last little while. And that's purely intentional. And so, yeah, that's going to be the tumbling saber as you know it for the next, could be a short window, could be forever. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited about it, though.
Me too.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pumped.
Yes, I'm very excited about this change, and I think it's going to work out quite well for all parties involved.
I hope to share in my excitement with the listeners, and I hope they are just as excited as I feel at this moment.
I was actually kind of surprised. Like we've been talking about it, like you said, quite a while, and you know, just someday this week, you're just like, yeah, we're just gonna do it. I was like, oh, okay, just like that. All right.
That's the way to do it. you can always try to plan and find the right time. And the more I go along with not just podcasting, but just anything in general, it's just do it. Just go ahead and do it and correct course if along the way if you need to. That is the way to go. So anyway, if you have any thoughts about that, you can always reach out to us. And if you have other ideas for content, things that you'd like to see us talk about, submit them. Throw them at us on Twitter or on Facebook, email. That's kyle@tumblingsaber.com. Let us know your thoughts. And from there, we talk now about an idea that has sprung up on Twitter. I think Corey and Knight of the Commonwealth Ads baked this one up. It's the Tumbling Saber Pumpkin Contest. Do we even call it the Tumbling Saber Pumpkin Contest? No, or is it just it's just a pumpkin contest?
No, it's the Commonwealth Pumpkin Contest. All Commonwealth, all fandoms invited to do this.
And the prize, I believe, is a virtual high five?
Yeah, Fortune and Glory.
All right. There's nothing better than Fortune and Glory.
Fortune well, like the only luck we're gonna have fortune is... or fortune like cash fortune?
What do you think?
Good luck to you.
Yeah. Well, Corey, why don't you tell us what you and Ads talked about here? Because I'll be frank, I have no clue.
Well, it's kind of funny. He had brought it up to me, and you know, I was really him and I were so on the same wavelength. Like I was thinking the exact same thing because I knew I was going to be doing it anyhow. And so what we come up with is, you know, start as soon as you can. I would imagine, like, I started last night a bit, got a little work in there because it's quite time consuming. But submissions, you can either send them to myself at Chop Rules on Twitter with a Z, or at Ads. Is it Ads Hillier or just at Ads?
Ads Hillier.
Okay. Well, we'll send the link at the end of the show. I'm sure Kyle will put it on the blog. But basically, yeah, we're going to submit. Yeah,
don't be that sure.
Anyway, 3 p.m.
What you need is a hashtag.
Hashtag.
Then it doesn't matter. We're going to come up with one. Tomorrow, we talked about this. Tomorrow's going to be our bombardment of promotion, I guess, for it, whatever. Publicity. Hopefully, you guys get on board. Give it some
marquees. Make the hashtag now. Call it the SWC Pumpkin. There you go. Hashtag great, SWC great, Pumpkin. And
great pumpkin.
Don't mix things up. All right, whatever. It's your contest. You do it. What do you want your hashtag to be?
SWC Pumpkin Carving Contest. Oh. No?
This is Twitter. You know, you have 140 characters.
Well, you're kind of putting me on the spot here, no? Like,
well, you got to think on your feet there. This is an amateur hour. Come on.
Whatever. It's the Pumpkin Carving Contest. It's the Commonwealth or SW...
Okay, long story short, there's no hashtag because it's too
late.
There'll
be one by Monday morning. Ads and I are going to be working on this tomorrow.
Got it.
But October 30th is the deadline, 1500 Eastern Standard. To submit it to myself for Ads.
Is this the hashtag you're talking about? Hashtag no, 1500 hours pumpkin, great pumpkin contest, Ads Hillier at Chop Rules.
What a mess. James, you got that lightsaber effect handy?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be chopping it down.
Submissions due by October 30th. It's a Sunday.
All laughing and joking aside, I think this is a really fun initiative you guys put together. I will be putting in two pumpkin entries. And just to make it clear, I asked permission And as long as we keep it to the realm of have fun with your kids and carve a pumpkin, all entries will be counted. I'm keeping mine in the fantasy realm, but mine aren't Star Wars pumpkins. And I think if anybody wants to carve anything out, they should just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, we're not like solely Star Wars. Like, you can do anything you want. Like,
I think Star Wars ones will be super cool, and I hope we do get a whole bunch of them. But I mean, if you know, I'm doing a Lord of the Rings themed one, which should probably surprise nobody. And yeah, I just think the more people who sort of send in a picture, and that's all it takes, take a picture of your pumpkin, you're probably going to cut one anyway, and put it in our contest. Hashtag pumpkin, great pumpkins.
Put all the seeds in a bag and send them all to Corey. I'll post his address and just send all your seeds to Corey.
I'll bake them all and I'll send them back to you. Give me a return address. I'll cook them and I'll send them right back.
He's probably not even kidding. He'd probably do that.
Yeah, he probably would. And last announcement before we talk Star Wars, or 20 minutes into the show. Our good friend, faithful listener, Carlos Candido, has got a Kickstarter going to get his new album off the ground. And I don't know the full address of his Kickstarter, but just head over to Kickstarter.com. You've heard his music on this show. I've gotten all kinds of compliments about the music on the show. And I say, well, it's clearly not me. It's this guy. And I would tag Carlos, who's always so flattered to hear people actually noticing the music. And so his Kickstarter campaign is midway through. And we're looking for a little more support. So head over to Kickstarter. Just do a search for Carlos Candido. You'll see his profile, his project pop up. And there's a whole bunch of levels of donation you can do. Just starting at like a couple bucks. Every dollar counts. And once you get up into the, you know, a few dollars and beyond, you start getting stuff. And so I put my money where my mouth is. I want to see this album see the light of day. And so I stepped up. I offered some money to Carlos, and you should too, because he's a good guy. He's a very talented musician, good listener to the show, Star Wars fan, Montreal Canadiens fan. How can you go wrong?
Nobody from Toronto is going to donate now, but that's fine. We don't want your stinking Leafs money anyway.
all zero of our Toronto listeners are hugely offended.
I love Carlos's music. I love the stuff that you play on the show. And I'm going to be putting my money where our mouths are tonight. When you guys do your Rebels talk, I'm actually going to log on and I'm going to time myself and see how long it takes so I can let the listeners know just how easy it is to throw some cash his way.
Yeah, it's super simple.
Yep.
And anyway, listen, not kidding. Carlos does some really, really cool stuff. So, if you got a few bucks to spare and you want to help a really good musician and a good guy off the ground, visit Kickstarter, search Carlos Candido, and feel much better about yourself. It's always nicer to give than to receive. And so with that, we can now talk some Star Wars. the worst kept secret of all time was confirmed late on Friday, where Donald Glover was confirmed as Lando. This was a rumor that had been going around for almost feels like forever, that this guy was going to be cast as Lando. It was almost one of those too good to be true type rumors, because everybody could just see it. This guy's got to be Lando, right? And lo and behold, Lucasfilm has actually confirmed it, and Donald Glover will play this card playing scoundrel that we love so much. So, James, are you excited to see Lando, a younger Lando, back on the big screen?
I am. I'm excited that it's going to be Danny Glover. I loved him. I loved him in the Lethal Weapon movies. I thought he was a bit old for the casting. no, but you know what? I loved it from when we first saw his picture and the rumors. I think everybody was sort of on board right away. He looks the part. He looks just so cool. And I read the description someone posted on Twitter this week about. It was a description written in one of the novels, early stuff, when his last name was something else. It wasn't even Calrissian. It was, I don't know, someone will fill me in. But the description was just like uber charming and so, you know, too good looking for words. But then his words were even smoother than his looks. And just based on the description, I looked at this guy and said, perfect.
Yeah, and he's a super talented actor, too. He was on Community, where he was so funny.
So good.
I believe he's the voice of Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yeah, so good on Community.
Yeah, so, I mean, this guy is going to be great. Corey, do you have any initial thoughts?
I just like what you had posted when the news... I'd seen your post first on Twitter.
As you
should. And you said, welcome to the rest of your life.
Well, you know,
welcome to your new life.
I'm sure he's... You know, I think there are some newbies that come to Star Wars and they don't quite know what they're getting into. I'm sure they're briefed on it and they have agents and friends and family who say, this is huge. This is going to follow you for the rest of your life. Yeah. But I think Donald Glover already knows. He's already a huge fan. I don't know if you guys saw that picture. I think it was a high school picture where he was actually wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. And he's a self-confessed Star Wars fan too.
I'm sure he knows.
Yeah, I think he's fully prepared for what's coming.
Awesomeness?
Awesomeness, for sure. Although, you know, if I guess you participate as much as you want to, right? Like, if you don't want to do the convention thing, you don't do it.
I could see him wanting to be involved.
The one thing I can see some actors being a little afraid of is getting typecast into that role.
This guy has so much going on. You know he has an alter ego.
Yeah, exactly.
Childish Gambino. You know who that is.
I just found out about that on Friday. I had no idea.
He's a rap genius. On top of being a stud, good looking dude, talented actor, he's also, and I'm not kidding when I say, like, considered one of the best writers out there. He's really talented on the mic.
That's awesome.
Yep, he's legit.
One thing about the casting too, I want to say is that having cast him, it kind of seems like it's going to lend itself well to a comedy angle or an aspect of the film. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I think this movie has sort of been rumored to be very comedic in nature, and Donald Glover fits that perfectly.
No, he's good. I like him. I like the casting a lot.
Sorry, Texas Battle.
Only disappointing that we didn't get that name in a Star Wars movie, but we know his name now, so that's sort of something.
You become a household name by being rejected by Star Wars.
When your name's Texas Battle, maybe.
Okay, so as far as the movie goes, is this... Now that we know Han and Lando will be together on screen... It kind of brings up a bunch of questions. And given that, at least I don't know. I don't know if it's been part of the news story here. But we don't know how many pictures Donald Glover has been signed for. It could be just a one-off, and then we'll see where it goes. Or they could have inked him to 2-3 movies. Who knows? But I didn't see that info out there. Did you guys catch that?
No.
Negative.
If anything, I would think it would be an open-ended contract, kind of, you know? It looks like if he's in this film, and I don't even know if Chewie's been confirmed for this film yet, frankly. But if both of them are, like, that's a heavy, heavy plot line. So who knows? They might want to make 3 movies out of this. But again, I'm hoping they kind of maybe wrap it up with one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends, right? If the chemistry of this cast, and it's hard to imagine it won't work, but if the chemistry is that good, I'm sure they'll do extended movies, but I think you're right. Like, just to play it safe, they're going to have to stuff in some of the big tentpole items from Han's backstory into this movie. So getting the Falcon, which was a late breaking rumor, which frankly, I don't know why. Like, as soon as the news dropped on Friday that Lando would be in the movie, I kind of assumed that we would see the moment where Han wins the Falcon.
It just seems like someone just threw something out there, kind of like, yeah, like that's a pretty good plot. Like, that's a pretty good guess. Like, why wouldn't it be in the film?
Yeah, well, Star Wars News Net came up, or at least I found the story on Star Wars News Net. Now, where did they get it from? I believe they got it from Slash Film, which is not a clickbait site. Slash Film's a pretty good site. and they've got it that the scene of how the Millennium Falcon changes hands is going to be part of the movie, which I thought was a no-brainer to begin with. But take it for what it is. It's still a rumor, I guess, but I think you can take this one to the bank for whatever that's worth.
Hey, listen, check this out, though. Like, just kind of popped in my head about Empire. If he does kind of, however he's going to swindle the Falcon away from Lando, it seems the next time they meet is the first time since that last encounter, kind of, when he's like, you kind of got a lot of nerve coming around here, you know, like, after what you pulled.
Anyway, won't spend too much time on this, but you know who's not happy about this, I'm sure, is Billy Dee Williams. A few weeks ago, we went on this little, I don't want to say egotistical, but it was a little bit of I can't even call it a rant because he's too old to rant, but he just made it very clear that he didn't want anybody reprising the role of Lando.
There can only be one.
Dude.
Always two there are, man. Billy Dee, always two there are.
Yeah. So he was pretty clear that he didn't want anybody else touching Lando because he said, you can't do anything else to Lando that I haven't already done. Oh, okay. I'm glad you see things that way. But
you know what? That's the end of his convention checks. Because now someone else can go as Lando to the conventions. Not that he won't be. I'm not saying it's the end in terms of like he won't be desired anymore. But like it's he was the only Lando. What else does he care? He's obviously not. He obviously doesn't. And look, I don't think Billy listens to this show. And if you do, I mean you no disrespect. But from your encounter with him, he's not a fan of what's going on with Star Wars. He doesn't watch. So like it's not like he cares about like you know Lando's ultimate. You know, fate in the storyline. It's got to be business.
Yeah. No, I think he's grateful for what my very loose impression based on a 2-minute meeting is that he's extremely grateful for what he's got based on Star Wars, and he enjoys the fans, and he knows what he needs to know about the movies, but everything else, it's purely a transaction. That was my interpretation of it all, and I might be completely wrong. And again, Billy Dee, if you are listening, you can tweet me at Tumbling Saber.
You let us know. Correct us. Wrong. Yeah,
I'm definitely up for being corrected. Or you can just if you want to have a little private chat, Kyle at tumblingsaber.com, and I'll be glad to hear you out. And moving right along, so. Well, I think for this one we have to backtrack a little bit because, to my great shame, we blew right past this last week when we broke down the trailer for Rogue One. But the trailer wasn't the only thing that came out. We also saw the second and I suppose final theatrical trailer poster. So what were your initial thoughts on this, Corey? Do you like this poster? Is it say anything to you that any of the other posters haven't?
Are you talking about the solo shots?
No, we'll get to the character posters in a couple minutes. I'm talking about just the new the blue poster with the Death Star in the background.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about with the shuttle. Sure? I think so. The shuttle. There's a small shuttle in it. In that one.
There could be.
There's been so many of them. When I saw the link to the show notes, I only saw the solo shots. But I'm sure I've seen every poster.
So it's the one that is predominantly blue. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I don't really have any problems with it. I think it's good.
James,
I'm trying to find it right now.
I think James, you were sort of lukewarm on it, right?
I was. I think I wrote meh. The day it came out, I was less, definitely less hot on it. And the internet, or at least my connection to Twitter, my circles of the Twitterverse, everybody was loving it, like loving on it really hard. Finally, a classic Star Wars poster. This is what Star Wars is supposed to look like. And I looked at it and I was like, meh. I don't know. I don't know why I wasn't thrilled. It didn't feel super classic to me. I mean, it had some of the aspects of some of the well-known Star Wars pictures. It was, you know, collage-esque, but it looked, I don't know, it looked like some one of the kids in my media classes could have done it to me.
Well, I think fans maybe were just for once grateful that some good Photoshop work was employed here.
Fair.
Some of the other ones were, like, specifically that...
the black
from
one.
Japan. The black one from Japan.
Yeah.
Oof, my God.
I think that was Korean, no?
Well, there was one from Japan, one from Korea, and those were not good. Not good. But this one has, you know, the elements that Star Wars fans look for. And I like it. I can possibly see this on my wall at one point. It's certainly my favorite of the theatrical Rogue One posters at this point. As far as overall, it's not up there on the list. Which leads me to the character posters. Those came out last week.
Well, just a quick question about the last one, Kyle. Is that the one with Vader in the background in the far right?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, that's a nice poster.
Yeah, I think it's well done. It doesn't particularly tell a story to me. But it's got all the imagery that we like. Star Destroyers, Walkers, Stormtroopers, Vader, Death Star. We get it. It's an Empire-heavy movie.
Yeah, and it's got the Death Star laser grid thing that they've done in all the individual posters and the character posters. It's got that on Jyn. So there's some, like, continuity between this one and those ones, which I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they should all have some sort of thread tying them all together, and these posters certainly do. It's schematics to the Death Star, sort of lit across their face.
Right. Yeah.
So last week we got posters for Jyn, for Cassian Andor, for Chirrut, Baze, Bodhi Rook, K2SO, Saul Guerrera, Sam Guerrera, Corey's buddy, and director Krennic. I don't know if character posters are sort of the thing now in Hollywood. Remember that The Force Awakens also had a number of them. And they're all, I guess they're nice, but I don't know. I think I could live without these. I know the purpose of them is to expose these characters to audiences that may not know them yet. But I don't know. As nice as they are, I'm totally if they never came out, I wouldn't say, man, really wish they'd release a line of character posters. Would you, Corey?
No, not at all. It's just another way to introduce characters, like you said, and you know, maybe make another buck or two.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, do they sell these things anywhere?
No, but you know where these work? These work in the theater. These work when in that big hallway, you know, on the build up to, like, right now. When you go see a movie and, you know, Star Wars is coming, because all six of the posters in the hall are character posters from this movie. And it does sort of look cool.
Yeah, that would be something to see. That would be cool setup to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quickly, again, in Rogue One news, this is barely worth mentioning, but makingstarwars.net had it from a source, and that source, I can't recall who it was, but they had it that... Rogue One is going to be 2 hours and 13 minutes, which is right in line with any Star Wars movie. So we shouldn't be surprised at all about that. But my question is, isn't it way too early to make that proclamation?
Yes.
Like, James, like, yeah, exactly. Like, as far as we know, is the music done? Is the final edit together? And if the final edit's together, what are you going to do for the next 2 months?
You jumped into exactly what I was going to say. This either means that they're way further ahead of schedule than I thought, with the way that, you know, reshoots went not that long ago, et cetera, et cetera. So either they're way further ahead and they know the final time because it's cut and canned, or they've picked this number and put it out there, and now people are going to be pressed to meet it, which I don't like the sound of that at all.
I think they're good to go. Like, think about it logistically. Like, this thing's got to be pretty much ready to ship shortly.
No,
it's not something that's like, well, its first premiere date is what, I think December is. It's less than 8 weeks.
Do you even listen when I intro the show? 53 days, dude.
Yeah, less than 8 weeks.
How long do you think it takes? You're in logistics. You can ship anything across. You could ship a ocean liner full of cars in 8 weeks.
Yeah, but you're not. This is something you're not going to take your time with. Like, it's got to. I would say at least they're going to have it in their hands a few days ahead of time. Like, it's got to be prepared to, like, you know, packaging, like all this stuff. They should have at least a good idea of where they want to be in the film right now. Like, plus or minus that 5 to 10 minutes. Like, they could probably say, like, you know, with that kind of accuracy, like, this is where the film's going to end. I would think at this point.
Oh, no question. I'm sure they have close to a final cut. I'm pretty sure of that. But to say, the movie's two hours and 13 minutes. That seems really specific. At least if they said it's going to be between two hours and 2 hours and 15 minutes. Okay. That seems like a reasonable thing to say at this point. But 2:13, that's, I don't know. I find that weird. I'm going to just take a guess. I'm going to say it's going to be a little bit shorter than that. I saw one of the clickbait sites in one of my Google alerts. Running time for Rogue One revealed. Is it too short? Look at I'm not going to get into another clickbait rant this week, but just look at the way they try to incite panic. Is it too short? Oh my God, shut up. So let's talk episode 8 for a few minutes here, guys. I don't know where this one's going to go, but apparently in a interview with Vulture, Daisy Ridley has told us that episode 8 will tell us who Rey's parents are. Now, I don't know. Did you guys read this story at all?
I did not read it.
Yeah.
I saw it in the notes, but I didn't read the article.
Well, that's why. Is this kind of like a trick question? Because it was, to me, it's clickbait. Like, it's here's the topic. It's, will episode 8 tell us who Rey's parents are? I don't know. Will it? Like, she basically says, sit tight.
Well, I wanted to ask for your impression because... my first impression was, oh my God, this has got to be clickbait for sure. But then I saw everybody, and not just clickbait sites, everybody was sort of reporting this. So, oh, come on, is everybody buying this? So you have to read the entire article, and the very last paragraph is about Star Wars, which is as classic clickbait as it gets.
Yeah. She's talking about being face-to-face with wolves.
Well, she's promoting her newest project before Star Wars, which is fine, great. But the part that most people are interested in, and websites know this, they know that the hits will come when you mention Star Wars. And sure enough, they did. So, skip right to the end of the article. Actually, I read the whole thing because, you know, I do want to see what else she's up to. And they get to talking about her meeting with, we just spoke about her, Felicity Jones, about the possibility of Jin being Rey's mom and blah, blah, blah. And she does the mental math in her head and she goes, oh, probably not, but whatever. It's Star Wars, so who knows? That's basically what she says. And then someone presents her with the possibility that she could be related to Obi-Wan Kenobi. And they go through the list of things that she does that are very Kenobi-esque. And so here's the whole thing to the story. So what does Daisy Ridley think? She goes, we'll see in a year. Just sit tight on that question. And apparently from that one quote, Daisy Ridley tells us that we're going to find out who her parents are in episode 8. And I go, no, she didn't. I don't know. Like, James, is this another, like, did she say something here that has some meat to it?
I don't know. I think it could have meat. It depends on context. But if they're saying, you know, is so-and-so your mom? Is so-and-so your mom? You know, are we going to find out who your parents are? And her answer was specifically, we'll have to wait a year to find out. That says to me, we'll find out in the movie who her parents are. So I see why sites are running with it. But it's vague. She could be saying, we'll see in a year if we find out who my parents are.
That's how I interpret the question.
But that's the problem, is it can be interpreted both ways.
Yes. And that's why we're even talking about this, because I didn't want to just crush it and just call it a classic clickbait story. Although it may be.
It could be a slip where she didn't mean to say, yeah, we'll see in a year, because it's confirmed in a year, you'll find out. She, you know, that could be a mistake where she sort of did let something out, but it could very well be what you're saying, that she's saying, well, in a year we'll find out if you find out.
Yeah, exactly. That's more what she meant.
Oh, man. Never a dull moment here in Star Wars fandom land.
That's why when I read this article, I'm like, it's a trap. I was like, well, what is this? Like, is this, like, what am I supposed to see here? Am I missing something?
Yeah, I think like what James said, I think she's just saying that we have to wait a year to find out if that question will be answered. Anyway, maybe you guys out there interpret things differently. Let us know what you think. And let's talk about one of Corey's favorite people in the world, Joss Whedon. He now wants to direct a Star Wars movie. So, Corey, tell us all the reasons why, even though he already kind of has directed a Star Wars movie, why should he direct a Star Wars movie? Or maybe you think he shouldn't, but go ahead.
It's kind of funny. James kind of mentioned the word before. And when, you know, when I kind of heard this now, I kind of went in my head like, meh. Like, I do love a lot of his work. Like, Firefly, obviously, I know that's where we're going with this. Like, I adore Firefly. That's where you said, like, he kind of has already done something Star Wars-esque. But, yeah, I don't know anymore. Like, I think it would just be too pop culture. Whereas these movies always seem to have some amazing depth. And, you know, like, I like what he had said, like, having seen some of the work that's been done on Rogue One, now he's saying, okay, like, and now I'm not bound by the saga in a sense. Like, I can have my own kind of room to play with something. Now I'm interested. That's, and yeah, not to say that he wouldn't come up with something amazing, but, I don't know. Can he make it as deep as these films kind of need to pull on your heartstrings?
I'd like to see him be like a second unit director. Yeah, I think he's got a good eye for like cool. You know, I'd love to see what he. I like him, but I don't. I don't want to see him in charge of a project either. I don't know. I don't know if I like him enough.
Well, I'm glad that he's already said that he doesn't want to do an episodic movie, because that I would like to, no, stay away from that. I think he would just turn as much as you know. Star Wars is supposed to be entertainment for all of us. Like Corey said, there's a certain level of depth that we as discerning fans or really engaged fans expect, and I don't know if that's his forte or if he's just more a specialist in the, you know, really light popcorn, you know, swashbuckling action type thing. I don't know if there's really much beneath his, I don't know if there's any substance is what I'm saying.
Joss, if you're listening, direct the Hondo movie and I'll go watch that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
But like, I wouldn't watch it anyway, but.
Like he came to realize that there is a sandbox out there for him. So I would say, you know, if he's okay with not touching the episodes, I'm okay with him doing a standalone movie. I think he could make a really fun one that, like you said, Corey, he's not bound to the rules too much.
Fine, but only if Hondo's in it.
Yeah. He's got to hit us in the feels, man.
He's got to hit us in the feels.
Yeah, like, that's what I see. Like, you were just saying, you know, he's kind of like the big, grand, like, action film kind of guy, you know? Like, he has that perspective, but in the same right, we kind of still have to be... We still have to have that emotional connection, too, I would think, to the characters and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean let's not dismiss what he did with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He handled the Avengers pretty well.
Yeah,
again,
he did.
Not that much substance to it, but... To juggle all those balls, especially in the first Avengers movie, and pull off that's a good movie. As far as entertainment value goes, and even to rewatch that movie now, it still holds up despite, you know, us being way further down the line in the MCU. It's still a really fun movie to watch.
It is. Oh, yeah. But I don't want my Star Wars movie to look anything like that.
No.
No, you're right. You're right. Which is, and then I guess I submit, you know, Article B in Serenity. That has a bit more of a Star Wars look and feel to it. So I yes. think he can do that. And I think there's enough safeguards in place that he wouldn't be able to not put in the Star Wars feels.
No, you're right. Serenity got me a few times.
So I like your idea of Hondo, of a Hondo movie. That's a solid one for sure. You know, if they ever had the stones to do like a standalone Princess Leia movie in her youth, you know, whether she's like a 16-year-old or a standalone Leia movie set between A New Hope and Empire or something like that in that area, I think he could handle that material pretty well.
I could stand to see that, like a young, 15, 16, 17-year-old, a lot of responsibility, not all the maturity to deal with it.
Then again, I guess if you're going to do a Leia movie in today's climate, I think it would be expected and appropriate to let a female director handle that movie, right?
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that, but I'd say hire the best director. But that's a whole different topic. We're talking about coach. We could get into coaches in Montreal too, right? Just hire the best individual for the job, the best.
Yeah, that's a good podcast for another show or for another day.
But yeah, sorry, off topic, but yes, a female director would be totally appropriate.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a lot of different places you could go with Joss Whedon. You could definitely, you know, if even if they wanted to, it could be sacrilege, but if they want to do somehow a young Luke or a Luke movie set between A New Hope and Empire, there's some Joss Whedon for you. Who knows? Hey, so if anybody, you know, so have your say. Let us know what, assuming you like Joss Whedon. If you don't, well, that's fine. But if you do, what type of movie do you think, what character, what storyline, what do you think would suit him best? Let us know. Hit us up at Tumbling Saber, at Chop Rules, at Tommy Bombadil 1. Let us know what you think.
You should take on a live action Rebels movie or even an animated movie.
That's Dave Filoni territory, my friend.
True.
Can you imagine the uproar if they did an animated Star Wars movie and they didn't give it to Dave Filoni? Yeesh.
It depends it only depends if Filoni originally refuses it, like says, like, you know, like, let someone else run with it. I'm kind of busy with the other stuff right now. Like, I'll executive produce or whatever.
Yeah. I see. I hear you. Okay. So we're blazing along here, guys. There's the Star Wars news of the week. All the stuff that kind of we consider to be noteworthy. And I'm sure there's more that we didn't tackle, but what are you going to do?
I know what we can do. We can tackle it in a different podcast.
That's a brilliant idea. Maybe we'll just do that. But James, you know what? This is the end of the line for you for the Tumbling Saber podcast. Because we're talking Rebels now.
I'm checking out. It's perfect, actually. I wanted to go make myself a tea. So I will go and pick some mint from the garden. I know it's dark out, but I'll find my way and send me a text when I can come back.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk soon. We'll have you back soon for the whatever. What's the other name of the other show? The Sith Disturbers.
See you soon, boys. Have fun.
All right, Corey. So we're back now for a Rebels review of The Last Battle. What were your quick impressions of this show?
It was good. You know.
Oh, I can already tell you're not as enthralled as previous weeks.
True. I would say it's my least favorite, but to say that's hard because I really did enjoy the episode. Yeah, it was just a, I wouldn't even say character development. You know, it was kind of a filler episode to me. But in a lot of weird ways, it did profound things because it, like, finished the Clone Wars in a way. Like, this is, like, Filoni's way of putting closure on that segment, saying, you know, guys, like, this, it ended here with these guys. Like, there's no need to, because there's all these petitions going around to, like, finish the Clone Wars and whatnot.
Yeah, which is not happening.
Yeah, exactly. This is the point finale, basically saying, like, sorry guys, like, this is it. This is your closure.
Yeah, which is awesome. I was going to tweet something to that effect last night, but I if there was going to be any blowback, I didn't have the energy to deal with it. So, like you said, there's a petition going around. There's probably even more than one, and it's probably gone around several times to get them to finish the Clone Wars. And it, like Pablo Hidalgo has said so many times, they have planned out the Star Wars universe for years down the line. And it would be next to impossible to get them to alter that plan. And so this, I think you're right, Corey, this was, I guess for all intents and purposes, their answer to finish the Clone Wars. This is it. It's done. After this episode, I don't expect to see any more battle droids. I don't expect to see any more end credits with that super cool hybrid Clone Wars Rebels logo with the hybridized theme songs blended together, which that was probably the coolest part of the episode to me.
Really, eh?
And again, it wasn't a bad episode, but I thought that was a really, really good touch. I was watching the episode with my wife, and they played. I was like, nice, look at that. And she was like, oh, cool, the Clone Wars theme. It was really cool that they kind of shouted out the series that way.
Well, to be honest, like, this is news to me because, you know, I've actually seen it 3 times, but still, you have kind of guessed a better ear for the music of Star Wars in that regard. So I hadn't noticed really, but yeah, that's actually a nice bit of like touching back on things, you know.
Yeah, but like you said, I hate calling these filler episodes because a lot of people put in a lot of work, but essentially that's kind of what it is. Like, this episode didn't do a whole lot for me. It was don't get me wrong. It was cool to see all this stuff, battle droids, clankers, you know, hearing that again and hearing Zeb get the same reaction that all of us think is pretty funny, calling the droids clankers, ray shields, hearing the word separatist alliance, all these things that, you know, for years from 2008 to 2012, while the Clone Wars aired, you know, this was all sort of household name stuff to us. And so to hear it on the
sword
screen
and shield.
Again. Yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, I thought one of the coolest things that struck me right away is early on in the episode when Kanan and Ezra, you know, they kind of snap into action and they're chopping through battle droids. And it took me right away to Obi-Wan and Anakin or any other Jedi slicing through battle droids.
Like and butter.
It was nice to see that again. I think there was a clever edit as far as framing goes, and I wonder if you picked up on it. They're walking off the ramp of the ghost, and Hera asks them, "Do you guys want us to don't need us? Yeah, fine, we'll be all right. Whatever, it's gonna go horribly wrong, but we'll figure it out." And Ezra says, "Oh, we have a Clone War vet with us." So the way that shot is cropped, you would let that line slide. But as we go on in the episode, they don't have one Clone War vet there. They have 2 Clone War vets there. True. And that other vet is your boy Chopper. Who once again is like 2 steps ahead of the situation.
As always. He scores them the new Phantom has been found by my boy.
Yeah, definitely.
But just touching back on the beginning of things again, Kyle, like I know when before the season had even started, we had gotten a release. There was the six first titles were addressed, right? Now, yes. we had a discussion about it, and we'd seen them all, you know, like the last three were the Antilles Extraction, and then Harris Heroes, and then the Last Battle. So I thought for sure, I was like, oh my god, like the Ghost Crew is in big trouble. Like this is going to be like the last battle of the Ghost Crew kind of, you know, and then they're all going to go their separate ways. And but yeah, so that kind of was definitely wrong. But it was cool. Like I liked some of the cool things were like Rex just took a couple of shots, like took one in the chest, right in the face, right in the kisser. But yeah, his armor, and he makes a reference saying that this G1 armor, you know.
Well, yeah, and it's not the first time where he's made a comment about armor.
Yeah.
I think in season 2, Stealth Strike, he makes another comment about how the new Stormtrooper armor doesn't do anything. Which is a kind of break in the fourth wall type thing. But yeah, I that was one of the things that bothered me about this episode. Like, what clone or Stormtrooper ever gets shot twice and lives to tell the tale? And I know Rex is the tough old captain, but come on.
Like that their weapons were weak after there was, they haven't been charged in all that time. They're less powerful.
Yeah, I know. That's another one of those things. Well, their programming was sort of screwy after all that time. That's, to me, that's lazy. And I think that this episode was sort of guilty of that on a number of fronts. And we'll get to that. But I, you know, one of the interesting things I thought about what they did with Rex is to highlight some of the obvious PTSD that he was showing.
Yeah, yeah. That could play back into further episodes, future episodes as well. That's something I wanted to mention.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. I mean, if you have thoughts on that, go for it.
Nothing really. Like he'd mentioned himself that he is programmed, just like the super tactical droid was in a way. Like they both wanted to win this battle, like life or limb, you know. And he even gets pretty peeved off at Ezra at one point. Just,
yeah, I mean, that switch has gone off in his head. That old soldier thing has gone off in his head where we're on a mission here. He's leading the mission, and this is the way it's got to be done.
Yeah, so that could play against him in future. I could see that maybe some of his old programming coming back into play, or who knows. But I love that guy. Rex is the best.
Yeah, so I saw him have a couple of moments where he was like, well, classic PTSD moments. Not that I know what that's like, but I wondered, is this PTSD? Because I saw everybody on Twitter talking about, you know, Rex's PTSD, and oh my god, you know, all these scars from battle that sometimes, you know, some you can't see, as Kanan said.
Yeah, now, exactly.
Is this PTSD, or is this just clone deterioration? Like, Rex is old, and he's a clone. He's built to fizzle out at some point.
No. No, it's definitely, it's only incited by being confronted with all these things from his past. It's definitely a case of that. Like, he's frozen at a point, you know, like, he's like in his mind.
Well, you're right.
He's
right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, he had all these triggers, right? The clankers were there, and yeah, you're right. It's more PTSD than clone deterioration, I think, now that I think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know,
I think again, one of the coolest moments too is that like mid-episode you see Hera and Sabine are flying their own solo mission for fuel, being like tailed by like three TIE fighters, and that's a fancy bit of flying.
Yeah, that was a cool shot. That was a very I guess original trilogy-esque shot. They captured that perfectly. You know, the Falcon flying away from TIE fighters. They nailed that shot.
The Ghost is just so cool, man.
Yeah, it's a cool ship. So again, there's a bunch of things that irked me in this episode. And I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like the episode, because I overall did enjoy it, but a few things really held it back for me. And one of them was that, what was it, the droid general's name? It started with a K?
I just know him as Super Tactical Droid.
Anyway, the Super Tactical Droid, whose name starts with a K, not accepting defeat and submitting new parameters that he had not outlined at the beginning. But if our droids weren't broken down, we would have won.
Ezra points that out to him first. Like, Ezra gives him that tidbit, and he plays on it. Like, you're right.
But I thought that was so stupid. I thought that was a really dumb way to get... It was all set up, really. I think it was clumsy set up just to get to Ezra's speech about how nobody won the war. I thought that was also a pretty ham-fisted speech.
Yeah, you're looking pretty deep into it there, man. Like, I didn't even look at it like that, but now that you mention it, I do kind of see what you're getting at. But I looked at watched the episode again, because one thing that I kept watching the time, I'm like, is this going to be a two-parter? Like, it was like, it airs at 8:30, so it was like 8:53, and like they hadn't even began to escape yet. They were still talking with him, you know? I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, then that skirmish with when the Empire shows up and they both realize they have a common enemy. Okay, well, I get it. I get it at this point. They're all on the same side. The Empire's the bad guys. The Empire was the Republic. It was all very simplistic but clumsily handled, I thought.
But they needed to hear it.
And they really clubbed us over the head with the whole Ezra bridger thing, bridging the gap, separatists and the rebels. There.
True. Good job, Kyle. I didn't even think of that.
But you've thought about it in other...
Many other ways, yeah.
In other more sophisticated ways. And here they're just like beating you over the head with it in this pretty clumsy way. I thought, I'm like, guys, you're I think you can do better than this. I think the worst part was Rex tosses his helmet at one of the destroyer droids, and it actually breaks through the shield and knocks the thing out. It's like, what? Come on. Like, I get it. The droids are worn out. They're low on power. They've been around for too long. But you can't tell me that a shield can just take them out. Forget it. There's certain things that you can do and get away with.
Well, objects, I think the shield would be oblivious to the helmet. Like, remember in the Clone Wars, they were able to, like, if they were able to precisely throw these, or like bowl these grenades through the shield and land them underneath them with some finesse, that they would go through the shield.
Yeah, I mean, it's the question of particle shield versus ray shield or something like that.
Well, they were destroyer droids. It was the episodes with Saw Gerrera, where they're training them.
No, I remember that for sure. But I just thought, I was like, what? I mean, that's a good connection that you're making, that Rex has kind of done that before. But with his helmet? I don't know.
No, it was a last-ditch thing. I thought it was a bit cheesy, too. Don't get me wrong. Like, it kind of caught me a bit off guard, but whatever. I went with it. He was happy about it.
I mean, yeah, I went with the whole thing, too. And at the end of the day, I was happy to see this sort of a hybrid episode, half Rebels, half Clone Wars. That it was pretty cool. But ultimately, it doesn't really move the needle in any appreciable way.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that the super tactical droid would have joined the rebellion, but he was like, "You have a 1% chance of beating the Empire."
So I'm gonna go run out of power on my own.
Yeah, exactly. That's poor logic too, eh? If anything, he should have. Well, whatever.
Can I borrow your USB cable to recharge? That's the least he could have asked for.
Anyway, yeah, those were cool droids. I like the designs on them.
Yeah, that guy seemed a bit more ornate with his designs. I wonder if... I don't recall ever seeing that.
I was hoping we were going to see some clones in this episode, to be honest.
I guess that could have been cool. I mean, like, held clones that have been held captive by these guys forever?
Yeah, something like that. Or like Commander Cody or something.
Clones that have been there with those droids who decided at some point to learn to live together.
Yeah, something like that.
I suppose that could have been cool too. But anyway, that's, I mean, not too much to talk about other than, you know, nice mashup between eras. And you know,
I hope I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the Phantom. Like, basically, Kanan says, tell Sabine to get her paintbrushes ready at the end of the episode or something, you know. And they also, this ship is like it's weaponless. So I really hope they retrofit it to have some weapons because it does look kind of cool.
Yeah, it does. Well, I mean, it's if you watch Attack of the Clones, it's you see very similar ships there. It's definitely a very visible, obviously identifiable as a Clone Wars era thing. But anyway, that's kind of it for Rebels this week. And next week, I forget what next week's episode is, but we'll definitely be here to talk about it. So let us know what you think of this episode of Rebels if you watched it. And if you're a week behind in the UK or elsewhere, well, we'll still like to hear from you even a week later. So hit us up. And with that, we will move to the last segment for the show this week, which is the ads edition portion of the show. No better way to wrap up the Tumbling Saber podcast this week than with the input of a Knight of the Commonwealth. So let's hear from
boy.
Ads. Yes. Let's hear from ads, and then we'll jump back in.
Hello, boys. Hope everyone is well. So my question this week for ads edition relates again to Twilight of the Apprentice. And I love your views on the great scourge of Malachor, the battle between the Jedi Order and the Sith on the planet Malachor. Now in Rebels, we obviously see the remains of the battle thousands of years afterwards. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and whether Disney might actually look to bring this back onto the big screen sometime, or as a previous question, I think a few weeks ago, when they look to replace Rebels with another animated TV series, perhaps whether they'd go back as far as that and set the scene leading up to that battle. I was also interested rewatching the episode to see that Ezra actually found a lightsaber similar to Kylo Ren's, a green-bladed one, which I thought was interesting. And also that Kanan, after being blinded by Maul, found and put on a Jedi Temple guard mask. Do you think there's any significance in that, considering what had happened previously in the season? I wonder whether his eventual destiny is to actually become a Temple guard himself. Right, that's all for this week. I'm off to carve a pumpkin. See you later.
And there he goes. There goes the honorable ad. And man, he's really got us thinking like double time here on Twilight of the Apprentice. A lot of questions coming out of this one. So Corey, the Scourge of Malachor. Will Disney explore this battle on the big screen? What do you think?
I'm kind of hoping so. The first time I had seen it, I was like, I'm telling you, I was sitting like Indian style on my chair, like as close as I can get to the TV, like just in the, just enthralled by this episode. And when I saw this and what they've kind of finally realized what they're walking in and what's gone on there. Oh, wow. Just, I was blown away. The first thing I kind of thought about was like, I was like, because this is the stuff I really love too, is the lore, the legend of whatever happened to Jedi's past and rebuilding.
What is the galaxy far, far away that we know and love? What is that built on?
Like I almost feel like what the Jedi were in what we know of in the new or the old Republic era, it's kind of like a game of like telephone, you know? Like one generation gets destroyed, they rebuild, it's back and forth, good and evil. They each have their turn, kind of. So every time it's like one person kind of relaying the information to the next, like almost like the Matrix, like, you know, like,
well, here's how it is. Isn't that what holocrons are for?
Yeah, but how far back do they really go? We don't know yet. And how many of them are actually discovered? Like, I just don't think that the Jedi know everything of what the past Jedi know.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You might be right. Why do you think Luke's at the first temple? Like, that's, you know, he's seeking some kind of knowledge. And
well, I think, yeah, you're right. As at Luke's
even,
time.
Even in this episode, too, like, do you think whatever knowledge was on Malachor, that temple, it was kind of like this super weapon. So why wouldn't the clone, like, why wouldn't we know about this kind of, or it looks like it was kind of like lost in time or swept under the rug, you know? And just seeing that many.
It was a place forbidden for Jedi. So it's kind of sneakily added in as, well, Yoda gave us this special permission to go check it out, but otherwise we're not allowed to even know about this place.
Yeah, I guess. It's where Jedis go to die. But just all these kyber crystals lying around. Like, there's... It's incredible. Like, you just see Jedi bodies strewn everywhere, which kind of leads me to the thing of the rule of two. Like, how does that apply here? It can't. Like, was it the super weapon attacking, like, 1,000 Jedi? Or was it, like, 1,000 Jedi versus 1,000 Sith, which is more the way I see it? And, again, like, all these precious gem kyber crystals just strewn about everywhere, just left there. Like, if anyone knew they were there, you would think they'd go snatch them up.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I think... to pick up on something you said about, first about the, what do the Jedi know? You know, look at the archives of the Jedi archives in Attack of the Clones when we see them. I think at that point, the Jedi know exactly what that place is and what happened there and who the Jedi were then. And I guess after Order 66 and the fall of the Jedi, I'm sure that the Empire destroyed those archives, completely wiped out everything, or at least sealed them up so that no one would ever see them again, except for, you know, Vader and the Emperor. But to go back even further, you know, if we were to see this or ever to meet the Jedi of that era, I think they have to be completely different from the Jedi that we know. You know, the Jedi Order that we knew, you know, in the prequel era, is that arrogant, bloated, overconfident, complacent body that was so full of itself that it couldn't see 2 feet in front of its face and eventually fell.
Yeah, well, I would think that's it. Like you said, complacent. Like, that's kind of the thing I was saying, but the rule of two, like, picture it. If there's like 1,000 Sith running around in the galaxy, like, yeah, these guys would be on their toes.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think if they do explore this time, I don't think we'll ever see it on the big screen. You know, I don't want to say ever, but I don't think we're at any point soon going to see it on the big screen. I think we could see it alluded to maybe as soon as episode 8. Maybe there's hints of it in Rogue One with talk of Jeddah and being an ancient place of Jedi worship. Maybe there's some sort of insight there to be gained. But I don't think we're going to learn about the Scourge of Malachor on the big screen at any point. I think that's material that could be part of a video game, maybe a novel, and I guess perhaps as Ad's outlined in a second question, maybe that is material for the next animated series, because they do seem,
that's it.
You know, they do seem to be making an effort. If the rumors are true about episode 8, we're taking a trip backwards in time. So there does seem to be the idea of exploring the past.
Exactly. That's gonna, like, episode 8's gonna drop, and then this show's probably gonna drop, and. I say there's like, in my mind, there's at least a 40% chance that this show is going to be based in the past. Like a good 3,000 years in the past.
Yeah, maybe. Again, I don't want to put a number to it, but Yeah, I think you're right.
And again, Kyle, like, that's the other thing too. Like, this is kind of, I don't know, looking back on things, either a fault in writing or on Anakin and Palpatine, in the sense that if they did destroy the Jedi archives, why would they have not preserved that information for themselves? And I think the point I'm making is, you said, like, maybe they did, but if they did, why would they? It seems like their long lost search for the Sith holocron had been over. Like, they said, okay, here it is, there's the holocron, because it's quite a priceless artifact to them. So you would think that him and Palpatine at one point would have said, all right, let's go to Malachor and get this thing. It's got to be two of us. But no, it was definitely lost underground.
That's a great question. Maybe that question's already been answered. There's the Lords of the Sith novel, which maybe answers that question. I have no clue. I don't know a single thing about that book.
And it's canon?
Yep.
Cool.
So maybe worth, I definitely plan on checking it out at some point, but there's such an avalanche of new stuff coming that I don't know when I'll get to it.
Yeah, I bought 4 books on Star Wars books this weekend.
Nice. Which ones?
I bought the Aftermath, the Ahsoka Tano book.
Well.
Yeah, I had to. It was hard
to find. You had to.
Actually, no, I only got 3. A New Dawn, Aftermath, and Ahsoka Tano right here in front of me.
Very cool. Yeah, I think don't be deceived by Aftermath. It's not, you know, a lot of people bought it not really checking out what it was about and expecting it to be the further adventures of Lucan and Leia. It's not that.
I read the back of it, and right away I said, ooh, like, no, I seem to, I just want it too, as, you know, as a trophy.
Well, you got a lot of reading to do, so I expect you to finish Bloodline first. Where are you in that before you start reading other books?
I'm still about halfway done.
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah, it's a busy week too. I got the pumpkin carving. We'll see. We'll get it done.
Maybe audiobooks are more your thing.
I've never tried that, and I'm very curious, to be honest.
Give it a try. You can go to audible.com and I think you can get like either a 7-day or 30-day trial. Actually, no, I think it's a 1-book free trial. Something like that. Whatever. You could go and listen to an audiobook and then just cancel it. So, okay, let's go back to Ad's questions here. So I just touched on his second one. So would they go as far back as the Scourge of Malachor in the animated series, in the next animated series? And I think that maybe, I mean, like I said, they're making a concerted effort to go back in time in episode 8. Rebels has already done it once. Why not flesh out that foundation even more? Exactly. I think you're probably on the same page, right?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it makes sense to me. Like you said, they're going to start looking back that way now. And like you said, that's a good word for it, to give it a bit of foundation, give it some bones, you know, like, so we can start beginning to piece this timeline together.
Well, no matter what, like, you and I in our lifetime, and anybody listening to this is probably not going to get the whole picture from beginning to end.
Speak for yourself.
Ooh, we share your secrets. All right, so we're both on the same page there that yes, the next animated series could go back to the Scourge of Malachor. They might do that. Although I still say it's unlikely, but I think there's a decent chance.
I'd say there's a very good chance. Like, again, like at least a 40% chance.
Okay, so you're like me. It's still unlikely, but a good chance.
I want to be more optimistic than that. Like, I'll say 50-50 at least. Like, I've thought about it before. I can't see, for the life of me, I can't see where they'd play with this within the present timeline, because they can't surpass where they are now. So there's really not that much to play with in that 30-year time span. You got Han, Luke, or Leia's further adventures, which they're probably going to, which they've already been doing in novels. You're not going to do anything with Finn, Poe, or Leia, or Rey as of yet. So, yeah, I mean, this is the way to go. It's a whole new. It's just a way of opening a big, big, big door for them.
Yeah, I could see them doing a Han Solo show.
I can't.
I could see them at some point jumping on the Poe bandwagon, similar to the comic that they're doing. I could see them doing like the dashing adventures of Poe Dameron.
That's it. They got to spread it, you know, spread the love.
Yeah,
he's
for
got
sure.
His own comic already.
Anyway, so on to Ads' last question here, and we'll wrap up the show. So the significance of Kanan wearing a guard mask. So is his destiny to be a temple guard? So quickly, I'll just get this out there. In my opinion, the significance of that mask was isolated to that episode for Kanan. I think that I'm not going to be able to put this into words properly, but him wearing that mask, to me, just he takes on that mantle of the last guard of the Jedi at that moment, because you're not quite sure what's going on with Ezra. Ahsoka, of course, was not a Jedi, and so it was sort of like the last real Jedi resuming that battle on that site. What did you think?
I'm kind of on the same page of you. You know, it's kind of like a, I guess, symbolism, kind of like bringing us back to the Grand Inquisitor kind of deal. Like, it could have been nothing more than that, but there's something Ads had sent us earlier, like, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen this, but in that scene, there's a wall that's full of these lightsabers, right? And some of these lightsabers have been pointed out to be like recognizable lightsabers that we've seen from the past, like Plo Koon, I think, was one of them. So, you know, maybe these temples are almost in a way like, I don't want to say Jedi heaven, but a way for their Force spirits to live on in a way, you know. Maybe they haven't figured out the whole Force ghost thing as of yet, but, you know, even Yoda is able to use this place as kind of like a, I don't know, like an astral plane, if you will, to communicate.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of unknowns there. But, you know, in the long run, basically what I'm boiling it down to is that maybe all Jedis go to that place at one point. But I do think it was just simple, like, kind of like mind, like blow your mind kind of like, oh, wow, with the reveal. And then Kanan doing the same thing. Just a nice touch on the path.
Yeah, and there is that bit. There is something to be said about Kanan wearing the mask of the guard and his whole experience during that vision sequence that he has with the Grand Inquisitor when he was a temple guard. There is sort of that whole, the marriage of all that coming together.
There's something interesting too, just thinking about it now too, is that when the Grand Inquisitor is the temple guard, his eyes are almost white, or he almost looks blind in a way. If you think about it, I don't know if you remember what he looks like in that image.
I don't remember his eyes, but
they're definitely not the way they were when he's evil.
Beady black eyes when he's
yeah,
sort of very Sithy.
But in this one, they're like white.
Interesting. So yeah, I don't think the significance of that stretches beyond that. But I don't know if Ads maybe thinks differently. I would certainly acquiesce to a greater mind than my own. So if anybody out there is thinking that mask that Kanan put on means more than what I think, because I think Kanan did keep that mask, didn't he?
Not necessarily. He might have ditched it. We haven't seen it yet at this point. When he comes back to Hera at the end of Twilight, he's just bandaged up.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Thank you, Ads, once again, for that wonderful installment of Ads Edition. And that will bring episode 47 to a close. Corey, anything else you want to say before we call it quits for the next little while?
just anyone again, if you're interested in the pumpkin carving contest, do it. Don't hesitate. And yeah, we're gonna crown a winner next week.
I'm putting two pumpkins in, Corey. I've got two for sure.
Me too. I'm going to possibly three if I can get the time in.
All right, well, James, it looks like James has sort of slipped back into the seat here. So, James, we're about to sign off. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Nope, just looking forward to jumping into the first episode of the Sith Disturbers. Should be fun.
Should be fun. And as we mentioned off the top of the show, nothing changes here for Tumbling Saber, and you don't have to do anything else to get Sith Disturbers. It will be part of the feed that you're already subscribed to. And like Corey said, check out, get involved with the pumpkin carving contest if you so choose. And check out Carlos Candido's Kickstarter. And with that, episode 47 is now in the books. Thank you all so much for listening. Check us out on iTunes. Leave us a review. That will really, really help the show. We've mentioned numerous times that you can get in touch with us. But we're all over Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Check us out there if that's your thing.
Quickly, and Kyle, before we break, before you do the last words, the last verse of the rap battle will be taking place on the first episode of Sith Disturbers. So anybody who's waiting for that, wait a little bit longer.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. We will catch you again in the next episode of the Tumbling Saber Podcast. Peace.
And I'm waiting.